Good morning, and welcome to Hutter Tall Mennonite Church. If you would, please turn the back of your bulletin for our first opening hymn, His Name is Wonderful. And please rise. Then, if you would, turn to hymnal number 311, The Church is One Foundation.
Thank you.
you'd bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the beautiful weather today, for your creation, which we are wonderfully blessed to be stewards of. We ask you to lead us into worship today, that our lips will praise you, and that our lives will bless you, and our meditations will glorify you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I would like to welcome you all to Hutter Tall Mennonite Church today. It is beautiful weather out, and we're very blessed to have this on in February. If you would, greet one another around you today. Now we have a time of moment in mission, brought to you by the Salem Home. I was supposed to introduce them, but that's about all I can really say. I don't know what they're going to speak about. I'm sure we'll be blessed by whatever they have to say, and they're more than welcome to come up here.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Vernetta Waltner, formerly Schmeichel. So I'm related to a few of you folks, and even by marriage to a few Waltners back there. I have taken the job of development director at Salem Mennonite Home in September, or end of September, early October. So I'm kind of new to the whole organization, but I feel like I have been on that campus many times over the years. I'd like to thank you for giving us some time to share about Salem Mennonite Home, the past, the present, and the future. We'd also like to thank those of you who have already donated to our future vision of a new building. And we'd ask that you keep us in your prayers as we move forward. As we've been working on this project, or as I've gotten involved in it, I have enjoyed reading the two history books that were written by, one by Sam Schmidt in 67 and one by John D. Unruh in 97. The enthusiasm and energy that was shared in these accounts shows exactly how a church community can work together for the betterment of people's lives. You might be interested to know names of some folks from the Hutter Tall and West Freeman areas who were named as serving on the various planning and fundraising committees. Reverend Jacob B. Hofer, Mrs. Joe A. Wallman, Andrew R. Wallman, Peter J. Stahl, Joe P. Hofer, Joe P. Glanzer, John P. Kleinsesser, and Isaac I. Walter, to name a few. I was surprised to find that my great-grandfather, C.B. Lehman, was also part of the group with the vision to provide a community home for the elderly. The process of discernment and physical action to complete a home took them nearly 5 years from the beginning talks. The grassroots effort began with area pastors, and it was interesting to notice that there were probably close to 15 area churches, and now some of those rural congregations have merged or closed. As the process continued, they enlisted the help of lay people that represented all of those various area churches. It was a big vision for this church community. I believe that Salem Mennonite Home is continuing in that same manner as we move forward with the building project. It began with the board of directors in early discussions in 2017. but we are sure hoping that it's not going to take a full 5 years to reach our vision. Now I'd like to let Shirley Knodel, our administrator, share a little bit more about the specifics of the building.
Thank you for letting us come this morning. I know that time is precious, and we wanted to just tell you a little bit about where we've been and where we hope to go. And you probably noticed in the paper that in the fall, this past fall, we celebrated 70 years of the Salem home being in operation, which is a long time. There wasn't even an assisted living designation at that time. It was just that your congregation and the others saw a need for caring for the elderly. And we continue that mission today. And we wanted to talk to you briefly just a little bit about where we're at. We had hoped to break ground in the spring of 2020, and as you know, the flooding has caused quite a problem with some of the work that we'd like to do in the area that we purchased the land, as well as the fact that it's just been a tough year for people for us to be successful with fundraising. Yet, we have been able to raise between actual money in hand and contributions, I believe, Vernetta, you said it's about $750,000 right now. So we are well on the way, and we will build. But as we move forward, we decided to have conversations outside of just Salem Mennonite Home, and we have been having conversations with Freeman Regional Hospital, Clinic, Nursing Home, Freeman Regional, as well as with Avera. And in November, our board of directors decided to pursue a formal relationship with Avera. And we're still all three in talks. And these things take time. And to explain the reason that we did that, we are a small facility. And like any business, farming, stores, any business you can think of, costs continue to rise for labor, for supplies, for equipment. And we can't continue to increase what we bring in because we're capped by the number of residents that we can hold. So the best opportunity for us to keep costs down is to look at a partner that can help us to bring those costs down through better buying power and because they have expertise that they can lend us. So when our board started to look at that, like Vernetta said, they've been working on this since 2017. We looked for a partner that had a mission similar to ours. And the Salem Home mission is that the Salem Home exists in response to God's calling for a ministry to the elderly. Our mission is to provide a home with a Christian atmosphere that will care for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of our older persons. And we do not want to lose our Christian atmosphere. That's very important to us and our residents. Avera's mission is, Avera is a health ministry rooted in the gospel. Our mission is to make a positive impact in the lives and health of persons and communities by providing quality services guided by Christian values. So it seemed though as though our missions line up quite well. So we're taking our time with this process. This could take 6 months or even longer to have a formal relationship finalized. And as we continue these talks, it's with both Freeman Regional and Avera. And we will build, there is no question. And we have made good progress despite the tough times with fundraising. And we will, even with the relationship with Avera, need to finish that fundraising. So Vernetta and I want to keep the conversations going, and we appreciate prayers as much as anything. And we're going to be down during coffee hour. We have some pictures of what the new facility will look like, as well as just a prayer guide and some other things for you to consider if you want to stop and ask us questions. And thank you very much. We appreciate all of the prayers and all of the support.
fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh,
fullness of God in helpless babe,
this gift of love and righteousness,
scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
There in the ground
of the world by darkness slain,
then bursting forth in glorious day,
up from the ground he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me.
Lovely, lovely. Invite your children to come up, please. Like the children to come up, please. You can come up too, Brandon. Hey, good to see you guys. Good to see you all. How you doing? How are you today? Hey guys, how are you? How are you? Hello, good to see you. Good to see you all. You can sit here if you want to, honey. No? So what kind of tree is this? What kind of plant is this? Do you recognize that plant? What is it? Blueberry, that's pretty close. Those are blue, but what are they?
Strawberries.
Who, strawberries? No. Can you recognize it?
Grapes.
Grapes. Can you see the grape bush tree? Yeah. Do you like grapes?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. What are your favorite? Red, green, purple? Do you have a favorite kind of grape you like to eat?
Yeah.
No? Red? Red grapes? Seeds or without seeds? No seeds. I like the nice big purple Concord grapes. Oh, they're so delicious. But I like them without seeds too. Otherwise, you got to put them in your mouth and you're supposed to put on a spoon. Seed, but sometimes you're outside, you just spit the seeds right there. Yeah. But what can you do with grapes besides eat them? Grape jelly? A grape drink? Like grape juice? Does your mommy make grape juice? Or grandma make grape juice? Yeah. Miss Kathy used to make grape juice and make grape jam and grape jelly. Ooh, or what else can you do with grapes if you dry them? What if you have a dried grape, what does it become?
A raisin.
A raisin, and I'll have some raisins for you all to have to take with you when you leave. When I lived in Fresno, California, there are a lot of grapevines there, and they were used for raisins. And they had these big wooden plaques, wooden platform things, and they put all the grapes on them, and then just dry and dry. And they were so good. Well, Jesus says that he is the vine, the grapevine, and we are the branches. And that we are to bring forth fruit, that we are abide in him, we're to live with him. He's to be our best friend and stay with him forever. And if we do that, he brings forth fruit. Well, what kind of fruit do Christians bring? You don't know. What do you think about it? Love? Could that be a fruit? Love? If we abide in Jesus, if we love Jesus, he'll bring us love. How about kindness or goodness or joy or patience? Aren't those fruits that God would give to us? Yeah, and the Spirit of God, if he's the vine and we're the branches, we bring forth fruit. Can you think of a good reason we'd want to have the fruit of kindness? It'd feel good inside if you have kindness. But what does it do in our relationship with other people? It might help me be kind to them, right? Yeah. Isn't that kind of cool? Jesus says that. He uses that grape illustration to say, this is what you're like with me. I am this vine, and you're like I'm this grape, and you're the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And you bring fruit, love and joy and peace. And happiness, yeah. And might even help you be patient with your grandma. Might help you be patient with your dad. Might help you be kind to your mother. Might help you feel joyful inside and happy. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe. Yeah. All because we're connected to Jesus. All those wonderful things we can have in our life. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I think it's cool too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we are the branches and you are the vine. Bring forth fruit of love and joy and peace into our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, I think I've got some more. Would you like some grapes? Take one. Oops. You're welcome. No. You're welcome. You're welcome. No. Hallelujah. Did I miss somebody back there? I think I missed a little one back here somewhere. I missed you up front. Would you like some raisins? Yeah, good.
Now is the time of offering. I always kind of struggle this part to know exactly what to say. You know, it doesn't always sound very nice if you just say, put your money in the plate and that. So I have this Bible. I picked out a nice Bible verse I thought I like, and it always goes good with this, I thought. But Darnell also gave me the advice to keep it simple. But little does he know, I'm going to read all 10 verses instead of 3. So, I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. You, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of your service, by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because the surpassing of grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Will the ushers please receive the offering? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you have given us. We ask that you bless these gifts for the furtherment of your kingdom. We ask that this offering will supply the needs of your people. We also ask that because of this offering, others will praise you, and that in our prayers, their hearts will go out to you. Amen.
I have always appreciated the straightforward words of Micah in the scripture I'd like to read, but first, by way of explanation, God does not appreciate empty worship from those whose lives are morally and ethically bankrupt. He desires righteous thoughts and deeds, and not just a show of traditional formal worship. So reading from Micah 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for the sin of my soul, the fruit of my body for my transgression? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Now is a time of sharing and joy reports. If you have one, raise your hand and the usher will come around. It doesn't look like there's any. Maybe Darnell has one here.
This is Darnell Cheddar. I want to thank everybody for your thoughts and prayers and Pastor Jack and other people for visiting me at home and in the hospital. I appreciate it very much. You learn what church family is when something like that happens, so I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Right, it doesn't look like there's anything else to share, any joy parts, so hopefully you're just keeping all the joy to yourself today. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me today? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today free from persecution, that we can come here by our own free will. We want to pray for this church as they're in a time as they're searching for a pastor, that you be with the search committee, that you guide them and give them wisdom, and that we are able to find a pastor that brings us together, that fills the voids, that guides us and leads us, but also allows us to grow and participate in church. We pray for Darnell that he is healing, that he is able to walk around. We are thankful for him to be here today. We also pray for Jared Kramer. Please be with him. Please give him patience that in this time of healing, that it's frustrating and a slow healing process. We just ask that you give him patience. We pray for the leaders of this nation. We pray for President Trump, that you guide him, give him wisdom, that we pray for the rest of these leaders that their intentions are true and just, and they're not there just to pad their own pockets. We pray for those who are unborn, that you give them, that you be with them. We also pray for those that don't know you, that we are given the opportunity to witness to them, and that they may come to you and know you. Please be with us through the rest of this day and through the rest of this week. Amen. I'm not going to admit, you guys are making it difficult on me with no announcements here, so bear with me. If you would, turn to the next hymnal, number 359 in the blue hymnal. And please rise.
Haven't had my chair out in a while, just to have a little simple talk with you this morning. Things I want to share are just kind of on my heart, very simple, just very simple things, very straightforward. I've been pastoring since about 1980, and over the years I've had many, many blessings in several churches, rural and urban and suburban, that sort of thing, just great. I have many blessings. But I've always been perplexed and just deeply grieved at sometimes how I've seen Christians just seem to be so sour about life, so sad, so just walking around as misery sticks, you know, just not feeling the joy and the love of God. And it just grieves me when I see that. Christians who have no joy, They walk around and they're just in this deep sense of gloom and sadness and frustration, and everything's hard and nothing to be happy about. And I've heard, and I have faces I get put with these stories, and the people I see, and I've heard those stories of just this deep sorrow in their hearts and no sadness and no joy. Or people who don't feel loved, valued, significant, or precious before God. Nobody loves me, Pastor. Nobody cares about who I am. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm so insignificant. Or Christians who just, I'm struggling again. I just don't have it. I can't resist this temptation. I can't resist these things that come in my way. I just keep falling in this path of sin and getting and falling in this path of sin. Christians who say to me, God doesn't answer prayer, Jack. He doesn't answer prayer. I've never had a prayer answered. Or sadly, Christians who walk in brokenness of relationships, marriage, children, churches, families, friends. I just want to say to these people, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way at all. That's not how you are to live as a Christian. So down in the mouth all the time about this and that. And I think that's a problem sometimes in the church. Maybe it's the angst of our society. Maybe it's all the stress we're involved in, whatever causes it. But we don't have to live that way as believers. Listen to what John says in his gospel. And it's a very, John 15, it's a very profound gospel. And we could spend several Sundays unpacking this, but I'm just going to pick up one point, like I did with the kids today, about abiding in the vine. But just listen to this. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. This is this discourse in the upper room. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and has gathered them and thrown them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Just simply, if you abide in Christ, then the fruit of the Spirit of God will manifest in your life. It's just that simple. If you abide, then the fruit comes forth. If you abide, if you remain in him, if you stay connected to him, if you persevere daily, stay connected to Christ, the fruit will come. If he is your abode, the fruit will come. Your life will change, and you'll step out of those doldrums and out of that place of despair. You'll step into this place of joy and a relationship with God if you abide in him. I was trying to think of some images of what does that look like. I was reading Cynthia Harold, I think is her name, H-E-A-L-D, something like that. She's a woman's speaker, I think Navigator, maybe Navigators or Campus Crusades for Christ. And she tells a story of having on her desk this shell. It's this big shell, and inside the shell is a little shell, but this little shell is connected to the big shell. And she said, that's what abiding looks like. You're just connected to Jesus. And he's your overseer. He's your protector. He provides everything you need. Well, I was thinking of an illustration of a joey, of a kangaroo, a baby kangaroo. And I was reading an interesting story where these baby kangaroos will go up, and they're the size of about a jelly bean, and they're blind. And they'll crawl into the mother's pouch. And there she nurtures them. They abide in that pouch, and everything they need, the mother gives to them there for them to grow. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. There's a good illustration right there from the farm or from the vineyard. As the branches stay connected to the vine, the fruit comes forth. As our dear little girl said, could be blueberries, could be strawberries, whatever the fruit will come forth. So you can have joy. He says, you can have my joy. My joy will be made complete in you. You can walk with this deep sense of security and happiness and tranquility and peace. You'll have my joy if you abide in me, and nothing can take away my joy from you. Nothing. No circumstance, no trial, no struggle, no situation can rob you of my joy if you abide in me. If you stay connected to who I am. Think about that. That's profoundly comforting. I think I told the story at the nursing home about the Chinese pastor. He was arrested for being evangelistic and leading an evangelistic church. And he was arrested and put in prison, right? And there he was in prison. He began to witness for Christ and began to lead prisoners to Christ, begin to have church meetings, begin to sing, begin to pray, begin to preach, begin to read the scriptures, etc. Had this great church service going, and the authorities didn't like that, so they put him in solitary confinement and said, you speak no more. But this pastor's joy was still in him because he abided in Christ. And they thought, we'll get this guy. And they took him, put him in the cesspool. Now, I've been in some stinky outhouses. I can't imagine what the cesspool must have been like. It must have been that multiplied. And they shut the door, and it was loud and noisy and stinky and ugly. But there was nobody there but him, and the joy of God came through him. He began to sing, he began to praise, began to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm in this place where I can lift up your name. I can speak it again. And he began to sing one of his favorite songs, I Come to the Garden Alone. Because he was connected to Jesus. He could walk in that joy, in that celebration of that love and gracious presence of God. Circumstances didn't matter. The trials didn't matter. Well, I think when we were living in El Cajon, California, many, many, many years ago, just married and head out to California to go to college, and we were living in Magnolia Avenue, in Magnolia Apartments, I think what it was. And it looked like basically a mobile, like a motel or a hotel kind of transformed into some apartments or something. And we lived in these apartments. And there was this little old lady, she was 80 years of age and rather heavy set, and she lived upstairs. And I felt so bad. And sometimes I'd help her carry her groceries. She just would just struggle up these stairs with her groceries, bring her groceries in. Well, one day I noticed she got up and she had her groceries in hand, and she kind of bounced up these stairs with new life and joy and a sense of peace and inner strength about her. And I went to say, what is going on? And she said, I've asked Christ into my life. I'm a Christian now. She was abiding in him, and it just brought love and gave her a sense of significance and meaning in her older age and just value and importance. And it just bounced her up the stairs. She didn't live but a few months after because age and heart issues and other issues. But those months were months of joy. I remember thinking, this lady has found something that's made her happy and feel significant and cared for. She abided in him. Abided in him. And he gave her that. He didn't work. She didn't work for it. This is not a salvation message. She didn't work for it. Abide, you just stay connected. And the fruit comes. The branches don't do anything. They just hang there and the fruit comes. Right? It's awesome. Answered prayer comes when you're talking to the Father. Maybe you don't like the answer. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait. I hate the waits. I'd rather have a no. But the wait, and sometimes it's yes. But you walk in that relationship. You begin to have those prayers answered. And you begin to sense God's response to you. Wait. I have a son right now who's God is saying, wait. You're thinking about moving. Wait till things wait. That's a hard place to be, but at least he's got the prayer answered. Wait. Or people standing strong when temptations come and trials come. If you're abiding in Christ, and it's amazing how those scriptures will come to you when a temptation comes. You know, God is faithful. You're not allowed to be tempted beyond what you can be tempted. But he's faithful. He'll provide a way for you to escape. God cares about you. He's watching over you. All those, when you're abiding in this crisis, the word of God comes and helps you stand stronger, gives you a little backbone when the trials and the struggles come to stand strong in him. It's a very simple message. It's a very simple thing. Abiding, remaining, connecting, staying connected to Jesus. Brokenness, relationships. I've watched husbands and wives come together. We think, gee, Lord, how are we going to do this one? You know, this couple is really out there and lost. But when they begin to submit to Jesus, abide in him, and then come together and abide in him, it's amazing how lives and marriages can be put back together. But it comes in that abiding, in that relationship with God. How do you maintain that? How do you do that? That's simple. How about praying daily? You know, just take 15 minutes, 10 minutes. God will take what you'll give him. 10 minutes a day. Somewhere. Get up 10 minutes earlier. Take 10 minutes lunch. 10 minutes before you go to bed, whatever. Do it three times, whatever. And just spend some time talking to Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him about all your troubles, you know? Have a little talk with Christ. Spend a little time in the Word. And, you know, Lord, pastors talk about this abiding. If I abide in you, Lord, you abide in me. And this fruit, let's just talk about that a little bit. Read about it. Talk about it. If you write, journal about it. Or sing it. It's easy to abide. Just need to take the time to do it. See, that's the if part. If we do this, then these things happen. The if part shows we have some responsibility here. I have to desire and want to be connected, and I have to take the energy it needs to be connected. As I hear him calling me, as he invites me to be connected, I have to say, yes, Lord, and find that time. Help me, Lord, find that time during the day to pray, to read your word, to come to church, to sing, to fellowship, whatever, that I stay connected to him. Isn't that awesome? There's great comfort in knowing that we are the branches and he's divine. And he'll provide what we need as we go along in our walk with Jesus life. Well, I was thinking, well, that's kind of the end of this message, but I was just trying to pull it out a little bit. We're on this journey of looking for a pastor, and it is so exciting. And I thank you for the privilege that I've had to be with you the last couple of years to be a part of your journey. I'm really excited for you. I'm excited for us. I feel like I'm a part of us. I'm excited for this journey we're on. And I'm really praying that, and believing that God is preparing the right person, even right now, for this time to be with you. But I have a challenge for you. The challenge isn't so much in the pursuit. We got to get this pastor. Got to get him now. We have to have a pastor. Oh, things will be right if we get a pastor. Oh, yeah. Here's the challenge. There's nothing wrong with that, but here's the challenge. What would it be if the pastor who you you interview, walks in the door and just goes, these people are abiding with Jesus. And you invite him into this abode where you're already in this deep communion with God. And he walks in, or she walks in, and sees the fellowship of believers here and sees how rich and how beautiful the relationship is that they have with Christ, you have with Christ. Sees the joy, sees the peace, sees the grace, sees the goodness, sees the kindness. And just thinks, wow, these are a people I can be with. And you say, come and join us in our abode with Christ. Come and be a part of us. And come and lead us deeper walk with Jesus. Just a different way of thinking about the journey ahead. About thinking about Jesus as the center of this journey, the focus of this journey. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I didn't have any joys to share earlier, but as Jack was sharing, something came to me. So if you don't mind giving me a little bit of time here. Last Sunday, Dennis shared some of his joys and kind of these, what some people might think are coincidences of the way God works, but he expressed that God is alive and he is working here amongst us. And this morning, I decided to read from my buddy's little morning and night book here, Mr. Sturgeon. And this is from the 20th, so I'm a few days behind. But God is merciful and spoke to me this morning. So I'm going to read this. Just kind of maybe a little coincidence. The verse is 2 Corinthians 7:6. God that comforteth those who are cast down. And who comforteth like him? Go to some poor, melancholy, distressed child of God. Let him tell him sweet promises and whisper in his ear choice words of comfort. He is like the deaf adder. He listens not to the voice of the charmer. Charm him never so wisely. He is drinking gall and wormwood. And comfort him as you may. It will be only a note or two of mournful resignation that you will get from him. You will bring forth no psalms of praise, no hallelujahs, no joyful sonnets. But let God come to his child. Let him lift up his countenance, and the mourner's eyes glisten with hope. Do you hear him singing? 'Tis paradise if thou art here. If thou depart, 'tis hell. You could not cheer him, but the Lord has done it. He is the God of comfort. Now, I truly believe that God is here. He wants to work here. He's willing if we will let him. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Brandon, for those words. If you would, turn to our sending hymn in the Sing the Journey, number 73, and please stand. O Heavenly Father, we come to you once more. We thank you that we could come here today to worship you. We pray for those who cannot worship in freedom. We ask that you will be with them. As we go today, we ask that you empower us to nurture the newborn in faith, to search for those scattered, still waiting for a shepherd's love. Empower us, O Lord, to gather our sheep in our communities and on the ends of the earth so that we may tend to your flock. Amen.